The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5.
Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. There are jewelry stores, and then there's Zadok's.
KFNZ on Bellevue, Houston.
Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Players, please, huddle up. First, before I get a little rowdy.
Watch the elbow, watch
No, we're fine now. Hey, I don't want anyone to take this for granted. Runs like this, what we've been able to do in this clubhouse, it doesn't come around very often. This is special. We started this journey, sent us out west, we unplug the electric factory. And then sent us up northeast, we had to remind everyone who the real savages are. And then sent us to Red October, left them in a pool of blood. Ring the bell, it's more than one series.
That is Lance McCullers. After the Houston Astros won the 2022 World Series, Joe George, Will Kunkel, Brian McDonald here with you today. It's the All-Star break, and you think there's not going to be a lot going on. What are we going to talk about, Will? What are we going to discuss on the show today?
Dana Brown, the man who gives gifts.
And then all of a sudden, we get the news early this afternoon, early this morning, kind of, I guess I would say, that Lance McCullers and Colton Gordon and cash considerations have been traded to the Milwaukee Brewers. We finally know what the return is. It took a while to get there. Chandler Rome reporting that the Brewers are going to pay Lance McCullers a little bit more than $2 million this year and send back Prince Fielder's son, Jaden Fielder, in the trade. 21-year-old prospect. He's in high A ball right now. Was an undrafted free agent.
I do not know this man.
Yeah, it's Prince Fielder's son, so I feel like you know him, Brian.
No, by the very fact he had to introduce him as Prince Fielder's son means we don't know him.
But we know
him. We know Prince Fielder.
We know him more than most prospects.
We don't know who his son is.
Yeah, we've probably seen him before, maybe during like a home run derby.
Yeah, we probably did.
Three generations of fielders in the Major League Baseball.
Yeah, well, let's
see. Well, minor leagues. He's not the majors yet.
See if this guy gets to the majors. Nah, fair enough. So we'll see on the return. It's look, when it first got traded, it took so long to find out who they were getting back. I was texting with Sean Mapes, and I was like, I don't know if they're getting anything back. Like, this literally might just be a dump. The contract, move on, and it's over. But the Lance McCullers era, it comes to an end. And we've asked the question a lot over the last couple weeks on this show, myself and Jeremy and Brian, of like, how do you get all these guys back into the rotation? And we would talk about like, well, Lance is going to get a couple starts, and then maybe he gets DFA'd if things don't go well. This wasn't on my bingo card. I did not think that we would see a Lance McCullers trade to any organization. He had to waive his no-trade clause for it to happen. Didn't think that would happen, but he has the chance now to go play for arguably the second best team in the National League and contribute to them, where they're dealing with at least one pitching injury, maybe a second, if this trade indicates anything. But Will, your reaction when you saw this news today was?
I was shocked that Dana Brown was able to pull it off. I was surprised that anybody wanted Lance McCullers Jr. as a pitcher and that he was able to dump that salary. Like, that was the concern. It was like, well, you're not trading him because of his contract. He's not very good because he's got health injuries, so there's no way you can get anything in return for him. And yet, here we are. Like, Dana Brown, like, when do we stop? Like, Dana Brown's done some really good things at the trade deadline, and this one's not over, so it's not fully graded yet, but just the fact that he was able to move Lance McCullers Jr., who was a non-factor for this Houston Astros team, and move Colton Gordon and get something in return and free up space for the move that's going to come next. This is a chess move. This is not a checkers move.
For sure.
This is about the second and third moves that are going to come. Like, we got to start giving Dana Brown a little bit more flowers, or at least the people that don't give him respect got to start giving him respect, because he is fixing things on the fly.
I cannot disagree more.
Yeah.
Because
fixing what? His own mistakes?
Well, because no, a lot of the mistakes aren't his. Like, I'm not saying he's been perfect. Like, Mike Burrows, he got wrong. Tatsuya Imai hasn't been great, but he's had good.
He got wrong.
I'm not writing off Imai yet. Like, that's insane to write him off yet. I'm not saying he's going to be good. I'm just saying the book's still open. He had, like, the Abreu situation he had to work around, and that wasn't his issue.
Yeah,
that wasn't his fault.
That was on
the Kikuchi trade was great. It wasn't his fault. Like, what are the moves that are really bad by Dana Brown right now?
Well, it's the, all the pitching ones we've mentioned. It's
which are what? Mike Burrows.
Ryan Weiss, Mike Burrows, and I'll give you that the book isn't written on Tatsuya Imai, but I'm leading more on the bad decision part of that so far.
That's fine.
And then you factor in, obviously, not fixing the outfield, the money dumps of Jesus Sanchez and Mauricio Dubon to do nothing with it. Like, I don't see how we should be giving him credit for getting $2 million or really what is he going to turn that $2 million?
Well, we're about to find out. I don't know.
Well, so that's what to me is like. This is the like you're right. Well, like this is the first step. Like I think it's like the fact that they found a team willing to take them, take Lance McCullers on. I think is it's a good first step. It's what follows this for it to be a positive. Like trading Jesus Sanchez for Joey Loprofito could have been a positive move for the organization. Dana Brown, when he met with the media the next day, said, we're not done yet. They were done. They didn't do anything else. They didn't acquire a left fielder. They didn't flip Isak Paredes for, Jaron Duran or something like that from Boston. They just were status quo with their roster. Whatever trade they had lined up didn't happen. This trade saves you minimal amount of money. It really, to me, honestly, I think it's less about the money than it is just it fixes your rotation problem. It fixes the fact of guys that you want to keep in your rotation. You want to keep Peter Lambert on this roster. How are you going to keep Peter Lambert on this roster and Spencer Arrighetti if you like both those guys? If you have Ronald Blanco and Lance McCullers returning, making a good amount of money with McCullers, the math doesn't math.
Yeah, I don't know that it fixes the rotation as much as it allows you to have some flexibility in order to fix it.
It fixes the numbers in the rotation.
It helps alleviate that pressure of the logjam that you had in that bottleneck of like, and a lack of talent too. It's just, it's bodies and names that you don't need. You don't need Lance McCullers on this roster. I'm curious to see how and if the Brewers use him. Is he going to be in the rotation for the Brewers?
I think he is. They've lost Brandon Woodruff. He's hurt, and I'm really starting to be curious about Jacob Mizorowski and his health because they shut him down for the All-Star break. They already said they're going to limit his pitches, and all of a sudden now they got another guy going. Like now they get Lance McCullers. I'm curious. I think they clearly have some kind of plan for him. He's not going to be a bullpen guy there. Like he's going to fit into the rotation, and now he makes such little money from Milwaukee that he could just get DFA'd at some point by the Brewers.
Well, that's kind of my point is, do they kick the tires on this, have him go through the rotation once or twice, see what they got in him, see if what they like in him, what they can change in him, whether there's any adjustments to be made in order for him to be successful, then it's fine, so be it. But this also kind of feels like one of those like signing to China dumps or trade and dump type moves that is certainly potential. And Lance McCullers said prior to the season that he wasn't necessarily looking to play for the next 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, he said he didn't want to play anywhere else besides Houston at one point this offseason.
Like, here we are.
He eventually said, if I pitch well enough, you never know. He hasn't done that. Like, he had to waive his no trade clause, which also makes me think the Astros potentially were just like, hey, like, we got Milwaukee saying that you can go there. Are you open to that? And if not, you're probably just not going to be on this roster.
I wonder if that's a part of this. This is really like a respect to a veteran that's meant a lot to you / protect his feelings because you didn't want to have McCullers on the roster and then say there's not a spot for you. So you save his feelings, saving from the hurt of being like the eighth guy in the rotation when everyone's healthy. And on top of that, you send him to a contender and try to make it a nice exit for a guy that's meant a lot for the franchise.
Yeah, and he gets his flowers here. Everyone's like they're putting out all the tweets right now. The Astros are the graphics of thank you, Lance McCullers. The fan reaction is going to be mixed on this, which, we can obviously discuss.
Some fans are just lunatics with this.
Yeah, and like in 713-780-3776, your reaction on the text line, the HRMP listener line, twitch.tv/ESPN975. We're on YouTube as well, ESPN Houston. Just your reaction to Lance McCullers being traded. Like, I think on surface level, even if there's not a major move next, like, I think getting anything for Lance McCullers is frankly a positive.
It reminds me when Scott Fritterer was the general manager of the Carolina Panthers and he was able to turn Robbie Anderson, Chosen Anderson, into like a sixth or seventh rounder. It's like one of those moves you're like, well, this guy sucks. No one's going to want a guy that we all know that sucks. And then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, he got something in return? I don't care that it was a bag of baseballs. The fact that you were able to do that is impressive in and of itself. And now for the Astros, again, you're curious what the second move is. But I just don't see where he fits in with the Brewers that if in regards to like they think he's going to be good. I don't know, man. Like he wasn't good here. And for fans there's two sides of delusional fans, right? the good riddance. He was a waste of space, waste of money. Like, I hated that guy because he was a lazy bum. It's like, bro, you're an idiot. The guy blew out his arm, ended his career, and altered his life because he gave everything for you and the city and to win a World Series. Like, he did all of it. And then it's the other side of, like, I want Lance McCullers to come back and be what he was initially and help us down the stretch into the postseason. Like, that ain't going to happen either. Like, neither one of those are reasonable takes. So I don't think that do the Brewers think he's going to come back to form and all of a sudden be a serviceable starter? They must see something they like and that they can tweak.
And frankly, it's the one organization that if you're trading a pitcher to now, I would probably be nervous about that. Because all they do is take guys and turn them into studs. Like, if they find a way, I jokingly said this like 2 weeks ago that the Brewers are cheating. If they get Lance McCullers right, I'm now 100% convinced that they're cheating. Because I agree with you. Like, I don't expect him to be a meaningful contributor to them. Like, I think this is just a flyer as they potentially need to fill a spot in the rotation. And it might even just be a spot in the rotation until August 3rd. Like, until they make their next move at the deadline. But from the Astros perspective, like, it's just, it was time to move on. Like your rotation is locked in at the top with Hunter Brown, Peter Lambert. Tatsy Emi is locked in to this rotation. You are, Ronel Blanco is coming back after the All-Star break. Spencer Arrighetti is on this roster. You have Mike Burrows in Sugarland, which we don't expect to see back this year. We have Hayden Wesneski in Sugarland as well, getting ready to come back and being pretty good so far, at least in his last rehab start. Like, you're going back to a five-man rotation. There wasn't enough spots in the rotation for everybody. And Arrighetti can go down, but Lambert cannot. And Emi cannot. Like, he might have options. We're not totally sure with what his contract does and does not allow because Japanese players can make it so he's not eligible to be sent down. But there wasn't a spot for Lance McCullers. Like, this is the right move. Whether it was DFA or trying to trade partner like you did, and whether you get a player back that never even makes it to the Space Cowboys, it's just good that they don't have to worry about forcing Lance McCullers out there. When you're in the middle of a playoff race and you need quality, competent starts, and that's one guy that you can't rely on to get him.
Especially when you have four other guys around him that you can't rely on to get starts. So you can't, like yesterday when I, or is it Monday when I asked you and I did a video on this on my Instagram, is who do you think the most important player is down the stretch in order for the Astros to make the playoffs? My answer was Hunter Brown, because you did not know what you were going to get from Peter Lambert. You didn't know what you were going to get from Mike Burrows, Tatsu Emi, Lance McCullers Jr., Sousa, or kid that's coming back.
Blanco.
Wesneski, any of them. You don't know what you're going to get from any single pitcher in your rotation. You're not guaranteed anything. It's a little bit of a crapshoot from everyone, except for hopefully Hunter Brown. You need to know what you're getting from Hunter Brown every single time that he goes out there, and this kind of washes away one of those question marks. Mm-hmm. So now, like, all right, listen, we've done the Lance McCullers Jr. Let's thank him for his time. Let's thank him for his service. He's a legend in the Astros, a hero to the city for what he did in 2017, 2021, 2022 when he was around and healthy. And now it's time to cut bait. It's time to move on, and it's time to get Blanco back in the rotation because I don't know what we're going to get from him. But I know what we're getting from Lance, and it's not sufficient.
Yeah, no, totally agree. Like, it has not been good enough, you know, this year. Like, there's been moments, the first start of the year, it's one of the, like, we joked about it at the time of, like, it might be one of those starts of where were you when Lance McCullers had his best start in years for the Astros. That's kind of what it was. He had really one other excellent A-plus start this season, but a lot of it was the typical Lance that we had seen as of late, where the stuff wasn't very good, the pitch count gets out of control. The strikeout numbers weren't necessarily there. So they move on, and it's the right decision to move on from Lance McCullers. And again, you're right, we'll take a break. We'll talk about, like, what's the legacy of Lance McCullers? Because there's going to be an optimistic side to this and a very pessimistic negative side of this from the fan base. So what side do you fall onto? We'll get to that next year. He's Will Kunkel. I'm Joe George. BMAC here as well on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
McCullers, the 2-2, swing and a miss.
Here's the 1-2.
Swinging it.
Back here on ESPN 97.5, Joe George, Will Kunkel, Brian McDonald. Jimmy Price, Astros future, is going to join us tomorrow, really to talk about the Astros draft over this last weekend, but I don't know, maybe some insight into Jaden Fielder. You know, he's got a chance at all.
Who the f*** is that guy?
Yeah, that's so mean, Brian. That's so mean. He's just a prospect.
Did you know who he was before 5 hours ago?
Aren't we all prospects? No.
I mean, there's like a reasonable chance that, like, if you're in the MLB, I feel like you're just someone's kid. I saw that over the weekend.
We're all someone's kid.
I saw a pet.
Thank you, Will.
Like, I saw a pet. Well, yeah, I meant like some major baseball player.
I was about to say the same thing.
Yeah, I know. I saw like Pettit's kid got drafted this weekend. Obviously, yeah. CeCe Sabathia's kid got drafted over the weekend.
CeCe's kid got drafted?
Yeah, late.
Was he a senior?
I don't know. So I don't know if he's going to sign or not.
You mean Milwaukee Brewers Ring of Honor?
I would be shocked.
I think that's who took him. Actually,
what's going on? Is this a replay?
No, it's not.
What just happened? Nice great defensive tackle. Play.
Sweat of the day, England money line. Got to win in regulation. England just scored in the 54th-ish minute, so they're up 1-0. So we're sweating that one today. Bad week so far, so cross our fingers. What's the legacy of Lance McCullers? Because you obviously have 24 straight curveballs against the Yankees there. I mean, it's one of the best moments. Like, he's a fan favorite. I love Lance McCullers.
He's a fan favorite to a good fan.
Yes. He's also, like, the detriment to a lot of people because of his contract. Like,
the contract was good when it happened.
Yeah, it was a little bit of an overpay, I felt like, at the time. But, like, you were banking on it continuing to the trajectory that it was. But, like, it was a fine contract.
Also, the contract, not the player's fault.
For sure. but, like, I first met Lance McCullers 2017. When he brought the trophy here to ESPN, when I was with Gal Media the first time, when I was at 790, like, we did some work with Lance's charity. He very kindly dumped champagne on my head after they won the World Series in 2022. Like, I've always been a fan. It's unfortunate, like, you know, when I was covering the Astros more at the other place, like, being there in Chicago when he got hurt against the White Sox, and his career just kind of never recovered from that point. Like, it was, he was coming back, he got set back, he got hurt again and again and again and again. It's just like, it never stopped. I think the ultimate legacy of him, it still should be the 24 curveballs. It should still be what happened, like, the fact that he's part of two World Series teams. He's one of, what, four players that won both World Series?
Five.
Is it five?
Yeah, it was five.
So it was what, Verlander, McCullers, Bregman, Altuve?
Yuli.
I forgot about, Yuli was there in 22. That's your list. Like, he's not a retired jersey number guy or anything like that. And yes, there's all the injuries in the contracts, but, like, I think ultimately, as time goes on, people will remember Lance McCullers very, very fondly.
And they should.
Like, when the Shin hires him to do TV and he's, you know, doing pre and post game, like, people are going to be excited about that. Whether that's next year or that's in 3 years, like, yes, the contract, it didn't really stop you from doing anything, to be honest. Like, they've had a top five payroll in baseball basically every single year, and you've had Lance McCullers hurt for a majority of that. So I think ultimately, like, his legacy is a very positive one for his time in Houston, with just a lot of bummers involved because of all the injuries.
I mean, I agree. I think the good fan recognizes what he gave this city in 2017, the way he sacrificed his body. I mean, he blew his arm out in order to win a World Series and do anything it takes to win. And then he rehabbed his ass off for years trying to get back, reinvented the way he threw because he wanted to be on the mound so badly and play again. I had him on my show, Kicking with Kunkel, 2 years ago. And we talked about this whole process, and he was, like, confused with the fans that were mad at him, as if he prefers to not pitch. Like, you work your entire life to get to the moment to where you can make money and pitch and then get to the big leagues and win a World Series and represent a city and be the face of, like, that tenure and of that era. And what, he just, like, bailed? Like, it didn't make any sense, all the anger that was towards him. I understand the frustration that fans had and that they were bummed out of the injuries and it never worked out, and it ended up being wasted money in the sense that you know, he wasn't able to be on the mound because of the injuries, but it wasn't due to like laziness or it wasn't due to the fact that he didn't care. So don't like cast your frustrations and then morph that into his fault and his problem. That's not reality. That's not what it was.
Yeah.
Lance gave his everything he had to the city, tried to come back. And again, to change his throwing motion is a huge deal. And it shows that you're willing to do whatever it takes to get back on the mound. And all the negative comments today, those guys, you're just really, really bad fans, and you're really annoying people.
I think ultimately, like, Lance became the poster child for the problems that have plagued the Astros organizations over the last couple years. And it's the people who disagree with me about the Astros spending money, that they don't spend in the way that the Dodgers do and the Mets do and teams like that. You know, they want Jim Crane to every year burst through, you know, the luxury tax and to spend and spend and spend and spend.
There's a big gap between not spending money and yes, not spending the most money.
But that's what people want.
That's and so then, dumb.
And there's also the fact that the Astros for... I feel like it goes back to like 2020 is when like it really starts when Verlander and Yordan Alvarez get hurt. But obviously it's heightened in the last 2.5 seasons where the amount of injuries the Astros have had has been exhausting to talk about. There's been so many guys, so many pitchers used, and you haven't had reliability from a majority of your organization. And I kind of think Lance McCullers became the punching bag for both of those things. Of just like, they're not spending the most money in baseball, like fans want their owners to spend, and this entire roster is every single year getting depleted with major injuries, and Lance is one of those guys that's always hurt. So I think he just kind of just got punched in the face a lot by fans and became the target because of the problems that were happening within the organization as a whole.
Because I also think that every time you heard Lance's name, it was negative. Every time over 2.5 years, he wasn't pitching, so there was no redeeming quality for 2.5 years to get his name out of the mud. Mm-hmm. It was always a setback. It was always something bad happened. It was always a surgery. It was always something was discovered in his arm or his elbow. So it just was. It was 2.5 years of negative news, and the way it's painted is Lance. That's, you know, Lance suffers another setback. Lance has to go through this. Lance that, and it, when that happens, you don't start thinking clearly, and you're like, golly, like this guy's just a waste. He's never on the mound. But like, sit there and think about kind of what you're saying.
Yeah, and Chandler Rome put out a story in the Athletic today, and you know, this isn't apparently the Astros have been trying to do this for most of the past year. According to multiple team sources from Chandler, at one point he was involved in the trade that was vetoed by Nolan Arenado. So he was going to be a St. Louis Cardinal, but then Arenado vetoed that. So maybe McCullers has even said before he was going to waive his no-trade clause because of where it was at. Or maybe they didn't even get down that path. But they clearly, so like they've been trying to do this for a while, which also is very logical. Like, it's very logical with the amount of injuries that he's had and how much little he's brought to this team and how much his contract costs. Like, the Astros would have loved to make this move before. See, text line says, 1989, how does anybody not appreciate Lance? He's a Houston treasure. I agree. 0838, though, says Osweiler, Cato, McCullers, biggest thieves in Houston sports.
Bro, see, that's just insane.
Also, like, McCullers is not even the worst contract of the last 3 years.
And it's not even like, yeah, like, you want to talk about Jose Abreu?
Jose Abreu's worse, Rafael Montero's worse, and there's a good chance Tatsuya Ima is worse.
Christian Walker may end up being worse.
Christian Walker could be worse.
Whoa,
like,
whoa.
May.
Not good.
He hasn't been good since April.
He's had a bad April. He's had a bad month and a half.
He's been bad in May and June and July.
Like, and he was pretty bad last year.
He was.
You also paid one of like the best pitchers in baseball like $60 million to pitch like 2 innings for you. Like, Justin Verlander stole way more money from the Astros.
You know what's funny is I've never understood why there was not more criticism on that move of bringing him back.
Like he had Tommy John, so it's like it's not the like it's a big injury, but like his contract ate more of the Astros' salary than anyone else, and like he barely pitched for the Astros under that deal. Not that, now he won a Cy Young after, so like,
I think it's because he came back and won a Cy Young on the next deal.
He did, yeah. But like if you're gonna call someone a thief for stealing money, like be honest with it at least, and talk about the contracts that have played out and guys who have not been good or not been on the field whatsoever. But I think for the most part, like the majority of people, like the text line has said, like, you know, Lance, great clubhouse guy, solid teammate, you know, when healthy, his breaking stuff was peak. A lot of people talking about just not just the players, but his charity work that he would do. Like, he is like generally like, toxic Twitter is going to be celebrating. which is why I'm glad it's not a real representation of what sports fan bases are.
England almost had a goal.
I know they did. Like, they're the loudest portion of the fan bases, but they don't actually represent it.
But, man, are they loud as hell. They are a squeaky wheel. Like, be grateful for what Lance gave this city. And also, like, be grateful for what this city means to Lance. What you want your athletes to do in an ideal world is truly wrap their arms around your city, you know, become part of the culture and love it. And Lance did. Like, he became all of it. Like, bury me in the H. That's a crazy lie. Like, and what he gave up for and how much he loves it here. And he and his wife turned into a family here with their children. And I'll guarantee he lives here when he retires. He's going to stay here for the rest of the life of his life. He's open. Everyone wants to call him like coffee boy and all that stuff. Like, dude, he's putting down his roots, putting down his money, opening businesses in your community the way you would want a star player to do versus, you know, I'll be there for the season, but I'm not going to live there. I'm not going to like put any money in the community. I don't really care about Houston. Like, I'm a Cali boy or whatever. Like, nah, man, he's done everything that you want to do to become part of your community, and including opening his coffee shop or his failed pickleball business.
Someone on the Twitch just said it perfectly, going off what you're saying. They wish CJ Stroud was more like Lance McCullers.
Man, absolutely. I was going to say it, but I didn't want to say it.
No, but it's true. Like,
but,
like,
is that, but you don't
some,
have to.
Like, for some reason, like the clip of him talking about California women versus Houston women is going viral again.
Is it really?
Yeah, I think people are like forgetting that like that's from his rookie year. But like, he talked about the food and everything. Like, and it's part of the reason why people, I think, have a short leash with CJ, because he said those things. Lance, like, both things can be true. The legacy, you should, like, it's a bummer at times. Part of the reason why you won the World Series, 24 straight curveballs, big moments, all of that. Also, good thing the Astros traded him. Like, both things can be true, and I think this is an instant where they absolutely are. We're like, it is a good thing the Astros made this decision, but it's a bummer at the same time. Like, I think we all in a perfect world would have liked to see Lance McCullers pitch well and end his career with the Houston Astros.
But I think we all also know this might be the best way to end it, because that wasn't happening. And to like cut him and slice and dice him out of town would be like a bummer to see it end that way. I think this is the best way to do it, because I also think, guys, if you're hating on Lance, acknowledge the fact that he gave a little hat tip out of respect, knowing that maybe he wasn't going to be an add to this team. He wasn't going to be a positive to this team. And Wade, there's no trade clause. So he helped the Astros as well on his way out the door once again.
Because he literally could have said no, and they would have DFA'd
pound
him
sand.
And not saved a single dollar.
Yeah,
they would have had to spend it anyways by sending him on his way, and he could have ended up in Milwaukee regardless. But he gets traded to the Brewers. We'll continue just throughout the show if you have a reaction to it. We'll talk about a bunch of other stuff today as well. Today we'll talk about the deadline now, because this does feel like it sets things up a little bit different. We talked about yesterday about like who your top targets were. This makes it easier to go out and acquire a starting pitcher. But as we get into the post All-Star break portion of the season, starts back up on Friday. If they go on a run, if they stay the same, if they fall apart, like where does like buy, sell, where do you want the Astros to be at for each of those categories? We'll get to that next year on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
It is a White Boy Wednesday. I'm Jeremy and Joe.
Can it always?
There's more today than normal. Unless you're half Mexican.
Yeah, it's 100%.
No.
What's your name again?
William Albert Kunkel the Fifth.
Kunkelito?
Yeah.
Is that what they call you?
Yeah, my Mexican.
Are you the fifth?
Yeah.
So that made it even more white.
Yeah, it's very.
Sounds very English, which is why I am today.
Are you going to go for, if you're lucky enough to have another little guy?
Oh yeah, we go for the sixth.
You're going for the sixth?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, you can't end it.
No, you got to keep going.
It's not like, all right, we're going to sign up a junior. I don't like the name. We're at the fifth. Like, that'd be so wildly disrespectful.
Pressure's on.
Tell me. Pressure's on my wife. She needs to pump out the boy.
It's actually on your end, biologically.
I pump in the boy, don't I?
Yeah, it's on you.
All right. So, sweat of the day.
Come on, transition, Joe.
England money line. They're up 1-0, 74th minute. There's been a lot of shots on goals of both teams. This is a stressful sweat.
This reminds me of the England-Mexico game where Mexico was or England was down a man and they just took a barrage of shots.
Yeah.
Argentina is now just barraging England.
Yeah, we need another England goal, I think, to feel really comfortable at some point here. Would be nice. Because it's been a tough week for sweats of the day.
It's been 0-3, right?
Yep.
This could win back a nice chunk, though.
That's true. They were plus money on that. I don't remember what it ended up being when we placed the sweat.
Oh, you're right. It was a decent plus money line.
Yeah, it was minus on to advance. It was plus to win.
Maybe plus 120. It wasn't actually huge.
It was like 127, I think.
Oh, 165 is what I got.
Oh, that's nice. That's better than I got.
Oh man, please, England, dear God.
So we're now assuming that
this +175. Oh my God. To our group chat.
+175.
Yeah, +175.
I didn't realize I got that.
What good. A save.
So the belief here now is that this is a move to make a move, to have some flexibility financially, to go out and acquire a left fielder, a center fielder, whatever that may be, that like this is the start of that. It clears a roster spot for your rotation. Obviously, your Colton Gordon's trade as well. That's kind of, I think, not really mentioned, but largely irrelevant as well. Like, no offense to him. Like, I don't put him as that much of a different category than Lance McCullers. Like, he's a fine pitcher. But, yeah, he's kind of a bum. For the Astros to be, like, big fish buying at the deadline, where would you want them to be at on August 3rd in terms of, like, the division or the wild card? Do they need to be in first place in the division by August 3rd? Do they need to be within a game? Like, where do you want the Astros to be at to be like, okay, this team has a legit shot to make a run in the playoffs. How far back or how far up do they need to be to go for like the big fish? Maybe not the Scooble fish, but maybe like the next tier down.
First of all, I don't think the Astros are good enough to make a run in the playoffs no matter where they are on August 1st. Like, I think where they are August 1st is irrelevant because I don't think they're a very good baseball team and I don't think they're going to get there. I mean, I think they might be able to get in the playoffs. I just don't think they make a run.
Sure.
But in order, like, if they're in the hunt, if they're within three games, like, let's roll. Because the American League has proven to be that bad. And I don't think they're giving up now, if you can go out and give up a bunch, but you get back a huge fish like Tarek Skubal or whoever else that might be, then fine, do it if you can get that and you can keep them on the roster for years to come. But don't give up a bunch in a bad American League thinking that you're good when you're actually four games under .500. Like, don't like mortgage your future because you're not even good in the present right now unless you get a big fish. So as long as you're in striking distance in the wild card, which it looks like you're going to be, if you're 10 games under .500, that's where kind of the cutoff is. The Tigers are 44-52 and they're 3.5 out. So like barring catastrophe, you're going to be in it in a month.
Yeah. Now I agree with that. I do think that they can make a run in the American League based on how bad the
in
American
the playoffs
League.
Or yeah. like in no, the regular season. Because no, I don't think they have the pitch. So, like, for instance, there's a lot of teams on here that are not playing very well, but their 1-2 rotation guys are really good.
I think if you make the right move at the deadline, if you're throwing out, if you get eight Cy Young, top three Cy Young, Hunter Brown, and you follow that up with you say Kikuchi, Astro, adjacent pitcher in game two.
Kikuchi.
And then Peter Lambert in game three. You can win a three-game series with Yordan Alvarez in this lineup. It can be good enough behind that pitching. Obviously, like a Skubal would be a totally dream scenario. That's not happening.
Right.
But I think you can get out of the first three, which is what they're going to be in. Like, they're most likely not going. I actually haven't checked to see, like, the thing is, as crazy as, like, they're not that far out from, like, being the two seed in the American League right now.
I mean, they're three games out of the West. The problem with the West, to me, is always the same problem when you play this game, is that there's just too many teams to jump. So you're asking the Mariners and Rangers to both suck, and you all of a sudden get good.
You do have eight games left against those teams. So, like, you can do a lot of that work yourself this season.
That's a good point.
Now, that's only one of those is before the deadline, I believe. I think the rest are after. I think all the Mariners games are after the deadline for the Astros.
And let's not act like we're sitting here talking about the Astros are the only teams that are going to make moves.
Oh,
listen,
yeah.
The Guardians, Mariners, Twins, Red Sox, and Yankees could all make moves too, as well the Orioles, Blue Jays, and Tigers. And the Blue Jays have had the most injuries, I think, in all of baseball, and to some significant players. So they could really kind of turn some things around.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see like what they do if they are close to like if they're stay where they're at right now. Like, they can go out and acquire a pitcher, and they can help make a push for it. Let's look at the negative side of this. They've now traded Lance McCullers, which does still signal that they're trying to buy. But what if things don't go well for the Astros coming out of the break? Like, what if they do struggle, and you look at a team like, you have 47 wins on the season right now. The number two team in the American League right now is the Chicago White Sox. They have 50. You play them the third series post All-Star break. You play the Orioles to start it. You play the Rangers the 3 days heading into the trade deadline. Like, you can do damage to yourself and, you know, in a positive or a negative way if they falter out of the break. Are you for sure like they're going to buy, or is there a game?
I think they
back?
For sure buy.
Okay, you don't think there's a games back between now and August 3rd?
No. No, there is. I just say I think there's for sure going to be in a situation to buy. So I think they will end up buying. I think they're going to be within striking distance of the wild card. So, like, I think they're going to buy because of that.
I agree. But what would be the number for you to flip that?
Like, six, seven?
Six. Okay. I think I'm kind of, like, in that general area.
Because, again, you got to also – you at some point you have to, like, understand that if you're six games out, that means you're at least – 14 games under 500.
Yes.
The Athletics are 41-55, and they're 6.5 games out. Like, you don't – you got to be a little truthful with what you are as a roster.
Yeah, I think they're going to be in position to buy as well. Like, Baltimore is a half game back of you right now, so, like, a lot of it can be, like, very determined by just this first series. And then you play the Marlins, who are playing very good baseball. Like, it's not the – craziest stretch to start the post All-Star break part of the season, but it's also not a cakewalk either. It's very much a mixed bag. Like, so you play what 15 games between now and the deadline. I think in a perfect world the Astros go like 10-5.
That's not gonna happen. They're just like they're going to play waffling 500 baseball for the rest of the way, barring the big move that really helps them. Because that's just what they are. It's what they've done. They're not going to win 10 out of 10. They're not going to go on a 9-game winning streak like the Red Sox did, but they're probably not going to lose 10 out of 10. The issue that they want to do is that they've lost 5 or 6 in a row. They've won 5 or 6 in a row. You got to avoid that 5 or 6 game losing streak right now. Like, it's going to come again.
Yeah, yeah.
We just avoid it before the trade deadline so that you have a clear vision on what you're going to do.
I mean, they have been a team like so far this season, like, March doesn't really count. They're 4-2 in March. They're 15-14 in May, so just a game above 500. They're 16-11 in June. It's crazy. If the Astros missed the playoffs this year, we're just going to look back at them going 8-18 in April and being like, that's
every year though. We do every year. It's April. It's every year.
And this is one of those where people get so upset early in a season of like, it's so early. It's so early. It's not going to be too early this year.
Dude, preach to the choir. I know games matter a little bit more down the stretch, but every game matters, man.
It's not going
to
matter this year. The Astros, if they missed the playoffs this year, it's because they went 8-18 in April.
Yep,
because I agree with you. They're going to be close to a 500 team, as most baseball teams are in every month. It's 1 or 2 months that oftentimes dictate who is going to be in and out of the playoffs. So, like, they got to come out. They're 4-5 in July right now. That's why I think, like, going 10-5 up into the break, that would put you at 14-10 at the trade deadline in the month of July. That's pretty doable.
It's doable,
like,
for
it's
sure.
Totally doable. Like, it's not going 10-5 in 5 series when one of them is against the Angels. Like, you got to sweep that series, and they've won a bunch of series lately. Like, if they at least win 2 out of 3 every time, you know, in 4 of these 5 series, like, they're going to be right in it to make a big splash at the deadline this year.
Here's the good thing.
Big-ish splash.
The good thing for the Astros is they're 4 games under 500. To be called a good team, you've got to be at least a handful of games over 500. So the Astros aren't a good team. Neither is anybody around them. So you don't have to all of a sudden turn into a good team. You don't have to start playing baseball where you're winning 6 out of every 10 games. You don't have to do that. All you have to do is keep your head above water and push some other heads down next to you while you're treading, trying to fight your way into the wild card. If the Astros, the goal isn't to be good. I mean, it'd be nice. But the goal is to just suck less than the Red Sox, Twins, Mariners, Orioles, and Blue Jays.
Yeah, just be like a little above average.
Yeah, that's all you're trying to do because you're not a good team. You've played enough of this baseball season to understand what you are and what you are not. Therefore, just chill out and just suck less. And my wife just texted me, oh, my God, Argentina.
Oh.
Oh, my God, that's over the top. No way she's that far ahead or that we're that far behind.
It's very possible because when we did this, like, Jeremy was on remote last Thursday. He was a good minute and a half ahead of me. So we might be very behind right now.
Like, how far behind? We're 80. No way. I'm going to lose my mind.
We got a question from AJ here, or from KJ here on the text line about the deadline, about another piece that can get moved here. We are going to take a break as we wait to see if Argentina gets scored.
Please, no.
My God. I knew this crap was going to happen.
All right. They scored. So, sweat of the day is in trouble. 85th minute. It is 1-1 England, Argentina. Not Messi scoring that goal. But we'll take a break. We'll talk about this question from KJ here on the text line. Your deadline questions or whatever. Get to us next year on ESPN 97.5. First, I want to talk to you about my friends at D&M Leasing. They can get you into a brand new vehicle in the next 24 to 72 hours by calling 713-290-1000 or visiting them at dmautoleasing.com. On their website, you can see their full list of inventory available to you right now. Hondas, Fords, they got it all. If you qualify, you can get payments for as low as $400 a month, and they'll bring your car directly to you, to your house, your office, wherever, and they'll even take your trade-in as well. They make the process simple, easy, and give you the best customer service possible. Check them out right now at dmautoleasing.com.
ESPN
97.5. Meet me in outer space. We could spend a night, watch the earth.
To the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Will's out here requesting Sublime.
That's a great White Boy Wednesday.
I'll get you one.
I really didn't know what to expect from your music taste, to be honest.
I love all music.
Okay.
Like, I love all music.
Sam?
Yeah.
Sam? I'm not really like...
I don't love... I think some of them, like Blink 182, I really like, obviously, like nostalgia to our era. But that, I don't like kind of that genre of punk.
Oh, really?
You don't like pop punk in general? Like, just Blink?
Yeah, I mean, I love Green Day and I love Nirvana, but I don't love the next.
Like Sum 41?
Yeah, that stuff.
Yellow Card.
You're right. Yeah. Yellow Card's not too much of that, but.
It's great. It's all great White Boy Wednesday.
Yeah. I saw one of them in concert, and I really disliked it. It just wasn't my thing.
We got 9 minutes of stoppage time here.
I hate soccer.
England. 1-1.
Soccer stole my heart.
Sweat of the day is in big trouble here.
And they've just...
England's playing soft.
Stomped on it.
Destination 2026 coming up tonight with Glenn Davis, so he'll break down this game. Question here on the text line from KJ. Where's my... text line. So do we think Bryce Matthews is going to be traded? Like him as a piece along with some else, but due to his young age, as a bargaining piece to get a good player. Where are you at with Bryce Matthews right now, Will?
If someone else likes him, deal him. I don't dislike him, but I don't think like he's nothing you're going to build around. If you can get something in return that helps you better now, go for it.
Yeah, I think he's definitely can be part of a deal to get like, we talked about Jake McCarthy yesterday. Like, that could be a guy that, like, you.
Oh, my gosh.
We almost.
Argentina's
almost
banged one off the post. Jeez.
I think I'm totally fine with trading Bryce Matthews. Like, I think it's very clear.
Wow.
Oh, they just scored again.
Argentina.
That they don't love Bryce Matthews based on how long it took him to get here You can't love the home numbers. I wonder if they have a different explanation than what we think it is, which is probably just the batter's eye. But I think he's definitely on the table. Like of the young players, like to me, like everyone's on the table.
None of these even guys are even close to untouchable.
Even the prospects, like every prospect to me should be on the table for the right deal. Like you're not just trading them to trade them, but like Bryce Matthews, anyone, Yiner, the guys that are currently on the roster, like everyone's an option. Now, what's their value? I think that's why it's like they're also on the table a lot of times. Like what is Bryce Matthews? Like maybe he gets you a bullpen arm. Like that's kind of why.
Not alone though. Maybe you think like a good bullpen arm
from like a bad team, maybe like a guy who's just like you could see him as a high leverage guy who's on an expiring contract from, you know, from the Athletics. Like you could go out there and acquire someone like that.
The problem is there's so many guys, so many teams bidding on these players right now because there's so many buyers that it's going to take a little bit to get a little. It's going to take a lot of bit to get a little bit.
Well, I think that's what so much is going to change like over the next, you know, 15 games because.
Or like, I wonder if nothing really changes and everyone kind of just sits there and waffles.
Yes, but there's also teams that I think that we're all assuming are going to buy that will not. I don't, like, for example, just because I'm familiar with these teams a little bit more, like, I don't think the Cardinals and the White Sox are a threat to the Astros in terms of making deals with other teams. Both those teams are supposed to be bad this year, have had excellent seasons. Like, they seem pretty intent on, like, not giving up their farm system to make, like, a big splash, it seems like right now. What are the Twins going to do? They kind of just cut money all the time.
I'm about to say, they're not exactly buyers.
The Mariners don't really go out and make big splashy trades. Now, they could. Well,
they did last year. They brought in Josh Naylor, was it last year, and someone else maybe?
Henry
Suarez.
That's right. Yeah.
They could be interesting because they could flip, like, Luis Castillo for a big-time bat because they have an excess of...
And they brought in Randy Rosarena. I can't remember if that was deadline or off-season.
I think that was off-season.
But they made some moves for the offense.
Someone live on TikTok says someone like Luke Weaver would be expensive. Luke Weaver would be expensive. Yeah. I don't think he's been great, but he's got a track record of having been pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not really sure like what the Astros like are going to be in the market for. Like we talked about this yesterday. I think it's going to be outfield. I think today's kind of an indication of that, honestly.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree.
I would still like them to add a starting pitcher. And maybe, again, this is just the long-term math of when you do acquire a starting pitcher. Lance McCullers was going to have to go at some point anyways. But, like, I think we will see the Astros make at least one. I'll call it significant. Like, it's not going to be, you know, Justin Verlander splashy. But, like, I think it's going to be like a Yusei Kikuchi.
It's going to be a starter, whether it's in the outfield or on the mound. Like they have to bring in a starter. They can't bring in another rotational outfielder.
Yeah, no, they have to bring in someone that's going to lock down a position, whether that's in your rotation, in your outfield. Like they're going to bring in someone. Brian, where are you at with the deadline? Because I know you weren't with us yesterday.
I'm kind of where I would like to see them just hold unless they prove they can be a team worth taking seriously, which to me is. To Will's point last segment, it's like several games above 500 by the time we get to the All-Star break. Otherwise, like, I don't really want Dana Brown handling a sell-off, and I don't really want them mortgaging the few top-level prospects. They only have, like, what? I mean, Kevin Alvarez and Xavier Nans, there's, like, two top-level prospects. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's a pretty talentless farm system. Like, I don't want them giving that up for, you know, two and done, like they did against the Tigers a couple years ago. So I'm kind of just stamp at and just roll the dice.
Yeah, I think honestly, it's probably like the most intelligent thing they could do, especially when in all reality, like this offseason, we're going to be going back to the conversations we were having in April when they were really bad about trading Jeremy Pena and Hunter Brown and these guys and unloading and redoing your farm system when you have a new general manager. Like what that new GM's path is going to be forward is going to be fascinating. And who knows what Dana Brown's going to be allowed to do because he's not under contract. Like, Jim Crane could very easily just be like, hey, man, like, you can make a small move, but, like, you're not trading my top two prospects when you're not under contract for next year. Maybe if we decide to re-up that, we can reconsider in the offseason. But right now, like, he doesn't have a deal. So, like, I really don't think – I think, like, the Bryce Matthews questions from KJ, like, that is a guy that we can see get traded at the deadline – to try to get you something in return.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
Or DeCenzo. Looper Fito, sure. Like all those, all those like 4A, AAA kind of guys.
All the 4A guys can be dealt.
What I like they're about that is you know what you have in them because you've had them in your building for the last couple years. The other teams might see something and might pay a little bit extra price for it because they think they can get something out of that guy versus you are fully aware of what you got and you don't like it.
Yeah, the Astros have, like Brian said, two top 100 prospects right now. Kevin Alvarez is 67. Xavier Nevins is 85. I don't want to see either of those guys get traded at the deadline this year. I just think it's totally...
And I don't even come at that from a prospect hugger mentality. It's more so just I don't think what they would get for trading those two guys off would suddenly catapult them into serious World Series contenders. So I'd rather just wait because we know the Astros aren't going to pay guys long term. So you're going to need those guys coming up.
Yeah, I like to see the Astros make a trade that solidifies their outfield, but just do it without giving up your top guys.
Is there any realistic move that you think they could make that would make them a legitimate World Series contender?
Okay, we're going to take a break because we have to. When we get back, we'll answer that question from Will. We'll answer. Brian will answer. I'll answer. We'll do that next year on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.